This is Mark Schneidman. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
Yo, Mark, it's Ed, your favorite buyer. That dadgum seller's got to be kidding me. He takes 20 thou off $1 million price when he's at least $250,000 over what's sold lately. What in the heck is he thinking? Let's lower my offer by the same and see how that grabs his goober. He must have thought I was green behind the ears, or maybe he just believes in fairy tales.
Goober. I have a whole bit here from Andy Griffith, and when Barney became a realtor for an episode. That was an authentic Texas accent, by the way. And the house that we wanted to buy, that was real life. That was not a bit. that's a real buyer, and he the house he wanted to buy still hasn't sold. Dropped in price finally. Could have sold it to this guy a while ago, and now we'll see if he'll be able to get it. Even at that price, as an old expression in real estate, sometimes your first offer is your best offer. A lot of people like to start higher price, and come down, test the market. And there was a market where you could do that and get away with it. Not so in this market, unless maybe you have some kind of very unusual special house. But you know what? Generally, not that you want to make a total general statement, but generally, no, not this market. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in to your local realtor. Mark Schneidman here. I'm here with Talent on Loan from the California Department of Real Estate. Joining me in the second segment is a public relations officer, and we're going to talk about mobile real estate. And what do you think of? Do you think of mobile homes? No, I'm thinking of Caltrans. And the real estate itself doesn't move, but everybody moves on the real estate. Caltrans, the 101, there's some updates on District 5, three lanes going here and there. Do you know that there is a carpool lanes coming called HOV? You know what HOV stands for, Richard? High Occupancy Vehicle. You knew that? Mm-hmm. Wow. It's because he drives a bus. Okay. do want to dedicate this show and this program to Mr. Dean Raber. He was a good friend, a realtor for over 40 years. Lived in Santa Barbara since 1955, just passed away. He was about 85 years old, and he will be missed. So to his family, and his daughter is a very, very successful mortgage broker, Diana McFarlane, here in town. So Dean, I worked with him for a while. Just one of the great guys, great guys of real estate. Speaking of great guys, you can go the opposite. and I'll explain what I mean. Realty Times is an online information source, and on December 20th, 2010, they talked about how existing pending sales have jumped a staggering 10.4% in October 2010, the strongest pace since April of this year. But interest rates could rise a little bit. They're maybe a 0.5% higher than the record low in October. Doesn't mean that they're creeping up. We all ask ourselves how long they can stay this low. No one is predicting that they're going to be jumping up. National Association of Home Builders, that's new building, are bracing themselves for a slow holiday season. New homes, cold weather, you know, everything back east. On a more positive note, National Association of Home Builders expects, with an improving job market in the coming year, buyers and thus builders will regain some confidence in the new housing market. When I first started in real estate in 1988, first few years, people, you know, I'd read about the National Home Builders Association, the new housing market, and I said, what's new housing? Last new house built in Santa Barbara was, you know, 1970. 1960s, they built the big tract homes, and, you know, no such thing as new homes. But I tell you, it changed. It changed in the 90s. Mortgage applications are up as well. They're 17.7% above last month, and they are now at the strongest pace since May. So they rounded up this kind of information, and this is getting back to what I was saying about going the other way on realtors. Adding to the positive news, Freddie Mac announced that they will be suspending all evictions from December 20th through January 3rd, December 20th, 2010. So if the property is occupied, our foreclosure attorneys will suspend the evictions to provide a greater measure of certainty to families during the holidays. So that's kind of in the Christmas spirit. Right. If you don't celebrate Christmas, you're out. So today in history, on this day in history, December 19th, 2010, coincidentally with this news on the 20th, is the anniversary from 1843 of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. It was first published in England in 1843 on December 19th. So there's that news. And so it got me thinking that they've redone A Christmas Carol so many different ways, Bill Murray. And so it probably should be a swarmy bank or realtor or lender or something that would be the new Scrooge foreclosing on people. And you kind of do a little new real estate. Think that'll work? No. Okay. Now, this is serious real estate on this day in history news. This is very serious. I don't know if you've ever heard of a double escrow. This would happen in the days of the rising real estate market and appreciating market, and someone would grab a property. He'd be the first one there. He'd think it was an absolute bargain, and within his escrow period of him buying the property, he would turn around and sell it to somebody else before he even closed escrow. That's called a double escrow. Nothing illegal about it. You know, I'm sure it occurs worldwide with many types of commodities. I mean, people buy and sell all the time. So what does that mean? The first guy just snuck in. Maybe he had an inside track, offered all cash when the seller was worried about someone getting a loan, or it was just underpriced. And he just got a bargain and took a risk, turns around, resells it. It's called a double escrow. So December 20th, it marks the date in 1803, what might be considered the most largest double escrow in the history of the world. Because in 1803, on December 20th, 1803, the fourth of four, obviously, the fourth leg was completed on the Louisiana Purchase. Ownership of the territory was formally transferred from France to the United States. So would we say we closed escrow on December 20th, 1803? It was formally transferred to the U.S. That's the fourth stage. If you go back to the third stage, it would be also in 1803, but it would be November 30th. So about 20 days before, roughly. 30 days has September, April, June. 21 days. On 1803, November 30th, Spain completed the process of ceding Louisiana to France. Okay? So the fourth leg, France transferred it to the U.S., but 21 days earlier, Spain gives it to France, which had sold it to the United States. So France sold it to the United States without owning it, because 21 days before France transferred it to the United States, they got it from Spain. So it sounds like a double escrow to me. That's the third of the fourth leg. The second leg goes back to April of the same year, 1803. That's when the United States purchased the Louisiana Territory from France for the equivalent of $15 million, which is pretty amazing. I think when I first cut this out, I talked about what sold in Santa Barbara for $15 million versus the Louisiana. So you got the picture. In April, the United States buys the Louisiana Territory from France. In November, France gets it from Spain. And then in December, same year, they transfer it to the United States. The first leg. But this doesn't make any sense. In 1800, Spain ceded Louisiana to France in a secret treaty. So that makes it seem like France already had it. So something is not quite right. They seeded it in 1800, but then it was in 1803, Spain completed the process. Okay, Spain completed the process of ceding Louisiana to France. So it was a three-year escrow from Spain ceding the Louisiana territory to France. So there's the four legs of the longest, most complicated double escrow in the history of the world. And I just saw today about the fourth leg, and so I looked through, 8 inches of notes, and there I found this little tidbit of information to share with you. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. We've got a lot more real estate information to come, updates, and maybe a home maintenance tip of the week. And I made a joke last week about the carbon monoxide detectors. And it wasn't a joke. It was kind of like a question. And in fact, I found something that actually specified exactly what we were talking about. What do you do with an all-electric home? Do you need a carbon monoxide detector? Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with our guest. We're going to talk about mobile real estate, Caltrans, some updates on the freeway and what's going on with traffic here in Santa Barbara. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.